all was so free and brave, living life the way Nikki had always wanted to. Nikki made it to the second floor, not even sure where she was going. The only thing she knew was she needed to get there. The floor moaned when she stepped onto the second floor landing, and she weaved deeper into the old halls where she'd hidden so many times as a child. She shrieked when a hand latched on her wrist, and she was suddenly pulled into one of the rooms. Ollie. He was there, backing her into a wall, that same look on his face that he was wearing when she'd left him standing down by the river. "What are you doing?" she demanded. A glittering beam of light lashed across Ollie's face, one part aglow and the other a shadow. He grinned in that way that made her spirit sing a million songs.
"What does it look like I'm doing?"
he whispered.
"Finding you."
He'd always had an uncanny way of sniffing out her hiding places. "We're not playing," she managed. She swallowed the big lump that had grown in her throat, trying to pretend she didn't have that feeling again. "We haven't played that game in years." "Two, only. But that summer felt like a lifetime ago. Before everything got strange and different and better and worse." She could almost hear the tinkle of Sydney's laughter. "That's what growing up is. It hurts and it's amazing at the very same time. That's called living, Nick. Don't ever be afraid to live."
"No. With the way you went running, I sure thought we were."
Ollie's voice was a rumble, so much deeper than it had been. She shook her head. "I was just looking for everyone." She tried to shake out of his hold, duck away. The funniest thing about that was he wasn't even touching her. "Where's Meredith?" she asked, her voice feeling too fragile. His lips pressed into a thin line that looked like frustration.
"Downstairs. She decided she didn't want to come up."
"You should be down there with her." Nikki didn't know a whole lot about relationships, but at least she knew that. Ditching your girlfriend in a deserted warehouse was not cool. She could see the shift, as if the lightness he'd found her with had only been a mask, and she stood there watching it be peeled away. Beneath it was confusion, a kind of disorder and anger she hadn't seen him wear before. Something about it made her shake. He suddenly reached out and took her by the chin.
"Is it true?"
She jarred back a fraction.
"What?" "That you have a boyfriend?"
Her gaze dropped to the side.
"Look at me,"
he demanded, and her eyes fluttered open just like the flutter in her belly. He stared at her, eyes drawing together, teeth gritted.
"I don't like it."
A sound scraped from her throat.
"You have a girlfriend, but you're telling me you don't like it?"
His jaw clenched, and lines pinched his forehead as if he were trying to make sense of something.
"I don't like it. The way it feels. The way it makes me feel."
His eyes moved over her. Nikki felt as if he was looking at her for the first time. He hesitated, and his tone twisted in confusion.
"You make me feel different."
"What's that mean?" He fiddled with a piece of her hair, softly, watching the movement as if he was in awe. Her knees wobbled.
"Ollie."
His name was close to a whimper, and if she hadn't been tied to him in this unseen way, she would have floated through the ceiling.
"It means I want to take care of you."
She tried to clear her head.
"You have a girlfriend. Right downstairs. Remember? And I'm not a little girl anymore."
He looked at her in that strange way again.
"No, you're not. But that doesn't mean you won't always be mine to protect."
Footsteps clattered up the steps and came their direction.
"Hey, assholes,"
Rex shouted.
"We're coming for you."
Ollie jumped back, putting a couple of feet of space between them, looking away from her as if standing that close to her was a sin. Kale's voice carried, getting closer and closer.
"Come on, shit sticks. We're heading to the lake. Cliffs are calling my name. It's hotter than the devil's backside in here. Think we walked right into the pits of hell." "Alabama is hell. Thought you would have figured that out by now,"
Ollie shouted back.
"Ollie, come on. It's hot in here, and this place is super creepy. I want to leave."
Meredith's voice echoed through the worn walls, a bit of frustration behind them. Nikki stumbled away, confused and somehow hurt.
Just go. I need to go check on my sister anyway. I promised her I'd take her to the movies today.
Ollie wavered, unsure before they heard Sydney's shouted words filter through with a laugh.
We are three, forever and ever, you and me.
Hey, what about me?
Rex's voice echoed. Sydney laughed, so carefree.
No way.
Ollie gave a last fleeting glance at where Nikki stood trembling against the wall before he relented and headed for the door.
Coming. Nikki's heading home.
He was leaving her. Was it stupid that hurt her, too?
What?
This from Sydney. Nikki could hear her friend's footsteps growing closer while the guys clanged down the steps.
Where are you?
Sydney called. Nikki eased out of the room, trying to play off whatever had just happened between her and Ollie. It felt so different, so wrong and so right, and Nikki was sure she'd never been so unsure of anything in her whole life.
Come with us?
Sydney asked, stretching out her hand, head angling, knowing something wasn't right.
I think I'd better go check on my sister. I'll go with you.
No. She squeezed Nikki's hand.
We are three. Forever and ever, you and me.
Swallowing hard, she let Sydney guide her out through the moats that floated in the dusky air. The steps creaked and groaned beneath them as they headed down the flight of stairs. Nikki could feel it, though there was nothing she could do. The wood giving, splintering beneath her foot. Nikki screamed as the plank busted and her leg wedged through the hole. Sharp arrows of wood cut into her skin. Pain and fear turned her stomach again.
Oh my God, Nikki!
Sydney cried, and footsteps were bounding again, and Ollie was right there. His face was twisted in shock and concern. She didn't want to find comfort in it. She didn't want to feel as if he made her feel everything would be all right. But she did. His touch was gentle as he eased her leg from the hole, careful to wind her ankle and foot free so she wouldn't get any new gouges. She definitely didn't want the tears that broke free when Ollie pulled her into his arms, but a sob of relief broke free when he held her close and whispered,
I've got you. I won't ever let anything bad happen to you. I promise.
She wound her arms around his neck and buried her face under his jaw. His scent was all around her as she clung tight. She couldn't make out all the words people were shouting around her, because Ollie had her, and that meant everything in her world was right.
Chapter 15. Ollie. My phone buzzed in my pocket. I wasn't sure why my damned heart went haywire because of it. Maybe it was because I was praying it was Nikki, hoping she'd just text to shoot the shit, tell me how her day was going, or maybe ask me about mine. Hell, I'd settle for a text just to remind me I was an asshole again. Anything would be better than the two of us acting like the other didn't exist. 2 days of tiptoeing around my house. We'd been walking on eggshells since I'd brought her there in the first place, just waiting for something to crack. Come loose. But now it was different. A boundary had been crossed, a dam busted. It left me walking through a fucking flood of need. I was up to my goddamn eyes with it. Twice I'd passed her in the hall, and it had taken every fucking thing I had not to grab her and press her delicate, delicious body up against the wall, needing to devour that mouth, desperate to take it further, to slide my hands up her skirt and slip my fingers into her heat. I'd felt it, how fucking bad she'd wanted me. It was almost as potent as the anger she felt for me. The fear. At least she hadn't taken off. Sucking in a breath, I pulled out my phone and squinted at the text on the screen. Sage. Got a call. Think I have something you might be interested in. Sage was one of the guys at the shop I'd invested in where I had all my cars restored. Disappointment was probably not the reaction he was going for, but I deflated with a heavy exhale as I tapped out a response. Me. What you got? Sage. 55 Bel Air. Seller is bringing it by in about 15. Thought you might want dibs. His offering almost brought on a smile. Me. Yup, I'll be there. Sage. Cool. Tucking my phone into my back pocket, I grabbed my keys and headed out the door, going straight for the elevator and riding it down into the basement. I hopped on one of my bikes, figuring the fresh air would do me some good, rid me of some of the anxiety and need bottled in my limbs. Kicking it over, the engine roared to life. Metal vibrated beneath my hands. I took it to the road, heavy on the throttle, weaving through cars as I let the heat blast at my face and beat some of the bullshit away. Could almost feel it scatter like fall leaves blowing away to reveal what they concealed. Damp earth. Darkness. Blood. Bones. Dirt. That date loomed, right around the corner, a reminder that Sydney was what I was fighting for. 10 minutes later, I took a left and then a right, winding down into the industrial section of Gingham Lakes. I passed by warehouses and shops and dingy offices. Slowing, I made the last right through the big metal gate into Roke's Restorations. I was itching to get my fingers on something good, something that could be brought back, something that was safe. The massive rolling doors of the shop had been lifted. Gliding to a stop, I set my boots out to balance the bike and kicked the stand. I swung off and rushed a hand through my windblown hair as I ducked through the door and into the shop. Place was in its usual state. Disarray with the promise of something good. Cars and bikes and parts sitting everywhere in varying states of repair. When he heard the thud of my boots echoing on the concrete, Sage eased out from under a hood of a classic Pontiac. He lifted his chin, grabbed a rag. "Hey, man, you made it." "And missed the chance at getting my hands on a Bel Air? Think you know me better than that?" He turned up one of his confident grins. "Which is exactly why I got with you first. Guy said he'd picked it up local and wants to turn it quick." We both turned when we heard a car rolling into the lot. "Ready to check this out?" "Hell yeah." Side by side, we headed out the garage doors. Rolling into the lot was a four-door sedan that had to be 10 or 15 years old, beat to shit, and seen better days. But it didn't come anywhere close to looking like the hunk of rusted-out metal being towed in behind it. How the fuck he even towed it out of whatever dump he'd found it in was beyond me. The tires were flat and rotted, and every inch he moved forward was met with the shrill sound of metal grinding. Taking a look at the kid behind the wheel of the car, my first thought was desperate times called for desperate measures. He put it in park and cut the engine. A dude that couldn't have been older than 20 came springing out of the driver's side, scrawny as fuck, with ratted-out clothes. Cheap-ass, second-rate, hacked-out tattoos littered his arms. "You Sage?" he asked. "Nope." I shoved my hands into the pockets of my jeans and rocked back on my heels. My gut instinct made itself known. Standing there was something seedy. I angled my head at Sage, who had to be thinking the same thing. "This is Sage." The kid nodded at him.
"Caleb, we talked on the phone?"
Sage extended his hand.
"Nice to meet you."
Nervously, the kid looked back at the car.
"Well, this is it."
I wandered over to the rusted-out Bel Air, windshield smashed to oblivion, and all the rest of the windows gone, upholstery cracked and ripped with some of the rods and springs poking through. Resting my hands on the windowsill, I ducked my head inside and peered around at the old gauges and dials in the dash, old-style stereo still in its place. It was gonna need a full overhaul, that was for damned sure. It was exactly what I'd been looking for, exactly like I remembered. I pulled my head back and looked his direction.
"Where'd you find her?"
Twitching, he gestured south with his head.
"Down on Rodham. A guy is getting rid of some of his mom's old things. He said he needed to sell it quick because he needs the cash."
I stood, crossed my arms over my chest, and stared at the guy, trying to get a read. Intuition. My glare promised him I knew something wasn't quite right. The punk shifted, about 3 seconds from pissing his pants. Knew his type. Badass until there was someone standing there who was bigger than him. I ran my fingertips over the hood of the car. There was something about it that was way too familiar. Too close.
"What's the guy's name?"
Caleb shrugged.
"Todd? Said it wasn't worth anything and I might as well dump it in the lake."
Awareness pressed down on my chest. Todd. Nikki's uncle. Maybe I should have recognized the car the second the kid had pulled up.
Wasn't like there were all that many of these cars sitting around, which was why I'd been searching for one in the first place. I'd fallen in love with this very one a long damn time ago. Summers spent traipsing in and out of her grandma's house, playing, running wild. We'd sit in this car where it was parked at the back of the lot, turning the wheel and yanking at the gear shift like it might take us to another place. Fairyland. Any place we wanted to go. Todd used to live in a trailer that sat at the very back of Nikki's grandma's land. He had always been out working in the yard and the shed, fixing shit up. Couldn't even say how long ago it had been since he'd moved out of town. Hit with the onslaught of memories, I pressed my palms to the side panel and dropped my head. Honestly, I wasn't exactly sure of what Nikki would think of me buying this car. If she'd be pissed or pleased. Thing was, it was a part of who we were. On top of that, Nikki's grandma was sick. Loss was a motherfucking bitch. What made it worse was I didn't know things were so bad they were needing to sell stuff off. I looked over at the twitcher who'd probably swindled the car right out from under them. You said Todd sold you this car?
Yeah, dude. Pretty sure that was his name. Looking to get rid of it fast. I didn't do nothing wrong, so if you're not interested, let me know and I'm out of here. No big thing.
I roughed a hand through my hair and turned my face up to the strikingly blue sky. Blowing out a sigh, I looked back at him. Need to make a call and I'll let you know. Give me a minute. Asshole itched, eyes darting around, desperation flooding his tone.
Man, if you're not interested, I'll find someone who is. Don't have time for this bullshit.
I flew at him, getting right in his face. Off to the side, Sage chuckled, low and dark. Hell, the guy was probably more intimidating than me. Punk staggered back, and I just backed him closer and closer into the wall until the only way out was through me. Listen, asshole, I know the owner of that car. I pointed at it as I said it. Now give me one fucking minute to figure out if this is legit. Otherwise, I'm going to take matters into my own hands and make that decision for myself. If you want to leave, be my guest. But you won't be leaving with this car. You got me? He shrugged me off, lifting his chin like he thought he was a badass who was going to take me out. Bring it on. I'd lay him out in a second flat. He shook himself out.
Whatever. You have five.
Punk asshole twat. Little fucker needed someone to teach him a lesson. I gave Sage a warning look, and he gave me one back. This shit didn't sit right with either of us. I pulled out my phone and tapped out a message to Nikki. Hated that she was probably going to cringe when she saw my name come up on the screen. But this is my job. To protect her the best way I could. Me. Hey, is your grandma selling some of her things from her place? Three of us sat there in silence, waiting for a response. 5 minutes passed, then 10. The asshole smacked his hands out in front of him.
So are we going to do this deal or what?
I groaned out a frustrated sigh. What are you asking for it?
10?
I laughed out loud and gave a harsh shake of my head. With the way he flinched, I was pretty sure it sounded like nothing but a threat. I'll give you 4.
What the fuck, man? That's bullshit.
Hands curling into fists, I edged closer to him. Not quite sure why I felt like taking the stain out. Got the feeling he'd been doing plenty of shady shit on his own. This guy radiated sleaze. Wasn't about to let him make out on this car. On Nikki's family's pain. No fucking way. You're free to leave here, deal or not, but you're not leaving here with this car.
Chapter 16. Nikki. All right, everyone, have a seat, and we'll get started, I called to the group of women who had congregated along the back wall of the secluded basement room, pouring themselves coffee and chatting before the meeting. Everyone moved to their seats. I glanced around at their faces, some familiar, regulars who were there week after week, but there were a few new faces, all of which looked unsure of themselves and what they were doing there. Their expressions ranged from hopeful to sad. Their ages, heritage, and economic statuses didn't matter. Each of them was so very different, yet in this setting, they were all the same. Recovering from one trauma or another, abuse, loss, Whatever it may be, it united them in solidarity. Nerves strained tight across my chest at the anxiety I felt each time I sat in this position. The weight and the burden I was gladly taking on. Their counselor. Their encourager. The chatter quieted as everyone settled into their seats, and Dr. Kathy gave me a nod, giving me the go-ahead. I was leading group tonight. My stomach dipped as those nerves soared. My gaze met Brenna's, and she gave me a timid smile. I smiled back and cleared my throat, letting my attention bounce around the group. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. It's great to see your faces. It's good to be here, echoed back. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Nikki Walters, and I'll be leading group tonight. Before we start, I'd like to reiterate that this is our safe place. Everything said within these walls is confidential and won't leave this circle. We won't judge each other, but rather we will hold each other up. Agreement rippled around the circle. Let's start this off with our group mantra, our prayer. We'll remember it with everything that is shared tonight. I strengthened my voice and began to recite, I am strong. I have control of my life. I have control of my body. I have the right. Some of the women chanted it loudly, claiming it, while others merely mumbled it under their breaths. That was okay. The only thing that mattered was that each of them would hear it again and again until they believed it. Okay, tonight I would like us to talk about some of the emotions you experienced when you decided it was time to make a change. No doubt, standing up for what we deserve when we might be in a bad situation is met with a gamut of emotions. Fear and joy and conviction and doubt, just to name a few. Let's look at those and how they impacted your decisions to make a change. Who would like to start? Lynetta raised her hand. She was good about sharing first, getting the words flowing, instilling trust and comfort in the rest of the women who might be nervous and on edge, exuding her own kind of peace in the way she shared the memories of her abuse as a child. She wasn't ashamed to admit she still dealt with the scars every day. But that didn't mean she hadn't overcome it and found joy in her life. I remember the very moment I'd had enough and I couldn't take any... She stopped speaking when timid footsteps echoed from the stairwell as someone made their way down. It was very typical for a new member. Many times they came in late as if they weren't sure they should be there at all, needing to convince themselves to take that step. I put a welcoming smile on my face and shifted to look over my shoulder toward the stairwell. My heart froze in my chest when my eyes landed on the figure standing on the last step. Ice slicked down my spine. Horror. Dread. Worry. They twined through me like the roots of a tree breaking through the foundation of a home. Destructive. Unseen until the damage was already done. That was what it felt like, sitting there staring at my little sister, and having no idea why she could be there. Her face was so much like mine. It felt as if I was looking in a mirror. Only her eyes widened in shame and disgrace, and mine widened with questions. Why are you here? What happened? Why didn't you tell me? I didn't know. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. My lips parted on a soft cry while dread pumped through me with so much force I could feel the thunder of it in my ears. The hardest part was the impact I felt in my spirit, as if a hammer had cracked me wide open and everything I'd held true spilled out. Knees shaking, I climbed to my feet. Metal screeched as the chair slid when I reached out to hold onto the back for support. I slowly turned all the way around to face my little sister. That was all it took for her to spin around and bolt. Footsteps echoed on the concrete as she pounded upstairs. The sound of her escape was what finally shot me into action. Nikki, Kathy hissed the warning, trying to stop whatever line she thought I was crossing. I ignored her and shoved the chair out of my way. It toppled over. The reverberation of it hitting the ground echoed against the walls. The sound only seemed to gather strength. Distraught, I stumbled around it. Everything felt as if it had been set to slow motion. My own steps slackened as I tried to process what was happening. Because this felt like a nightmare, like I'd wake up and realize it had only been brought on by worry, by the reminder that the anniversary of Sydney's disappearance was approaching so fast. Too fast. It always made everything raw and new. But my eyes were wide open. Too wide. My spirit screamed that I'd been blind all along. "Sammy!" I cried, chasing her up the stairs. I gathered the hem of my dress with one hand and clung to the railing with the other so I could make it up faster. "Sammy! Sammy, please! Wait!" Tears stung my eyes. A knot grew in my throat, so big that I choked over it. I couldn't breathe. "Sammy!" I shouted, her name strangled as it ripped free. She was already shoving open the glass doors by the time I made it to the first level. I raced after her and caught the door just before it closed, clamoring after her. Her brown ponytail swished madly at her back as she rushed for her car that was parked on the street. "Sammy," I begged, scrambling that way, pleading with her to stop. To look at me. To tell me what was happening. My fingers brushed down her back. She flew around as if she was terrified of me. Tears soaked her face, but it didn't do anything to conceal the grief.
"No,"
she rasped. She put out her hand to stop me from coming any closer.
"No. This was supposed to be confidential. Private."
Angrily, she swatted at her tears.
"Why are you here? You aren't supposed to be here."
Guilt blazed a path through me. Clearly, she felt trapped. Ambushed. More tears streaked free, and she choked around the words.
"It was supposed to be confidential. You aren't finished with school yet. Why are you here?"
"Sammy," I attempted again, my voice cracking. "I'm sorry. I'm interning here." I guessed when I'd told her I was almost finished, she hadn't realized that I was actually overseeing a group, that I'd stepped out beyond the online classes to learn the things I could only learn by interacting with people. I struggled to find the words to give her comfort when I felt so lost, bewildered and crushed. Clearly, my baby sister had kept me in the dark about something awful. I could feel it, radiating from her in waves of shame. "Whatever is going on, whatever reason you're here, I'm here for you. It isn't your fault." She blinked and backed away.
"You don't know anything."
Steadily, she kept inching toward her car. She opened the door.
"Please, just forget you saw me here."
Then she turned, jumped inside, and drove away. I stood there on the sidewalk as the street lamps slowly blinked to life, stricken. Broken and not having the answer as to why, but knowing there was no chance I could ever forget. Drained, I snapped open the door and was met by the silence of Ollie's loft radiating back at me. I didn't really want to be alone, but I didn't have anywhere else to go. No one to turn to. No one to talk to. Maybe this load really was too heavy. All I'd wanted was to make a difference, pour goodness into a cruel world. In some small way, make it better. Now, everything felt so wrong. It had taken every single ounce of willpower I had not to jump in my car and chase after Sammy. She needed time, and my pressing her for answers wouldn't be doing her any favors. I had to give her space. It left me feeling mashed up inside, as if I'd been beaten and left for dead. Wounds bleeding out when I didn't have the first clue how they'd been inflicted. The vibration of the band playing downstairs at Olive's seeped through the floors and trembled the walls with revelry. Voices carrying, laughter riding. I'd never felt so brutally alone. Heavy, sluggish beats drummed in my aching chest as I stepped into the space and let my purse drop to the middle of the floor, not even caring where it landed. I felt stunned, dazed, as if another piece of my world had broken loose. I was happy, wasn't I? So was my sister. We were close. I'd always believed it. Where had things gone wrong? My gaze was drawn to the bank of windows that overlooked the city below. My sluggish heart drummed a wayward beat, a thrum of adrenaline through my veins. It had nothing to do with the view, and everything to do with the man sitting on one of the oversized loungers on the balcony. He faced out. Just his head and the expanse of his massive, bare shoulders in my view. A shiver rolled, and I felt as if my spirit crawled right out of me to make its way to him. There was nothing I could do. It didn't matter what had happened on Saturday, how much I wanted to protect my heart. I moved, drawn, the way I'd always been. Toward him had always felt like the only direction I could go. And tonight, that feeling was overpowering. Helplessness streamed through me like an out-of-control current that was getting ready to go right over the edge. A free fall into nothingness. I kept my footsteps subdued as I inched across the floor, my motions measured as I slowly opened the glass plate slider. Ollie stiffened in the cushioned chair, but he didn't say anything as I stepped out onto the balcony. Distorted music floated through the muggy air, and that chill scattered, binding deeper as I eased over to the ornate wrought iron railing. I wrapped my hands around it and held on tight, as if it might keep everything from splintering away. His presence slammed into me from behind, beat after beat, fierce, intense. "Shouldn't you be downstairs working?"
"Was worried about you,"
he finally grated, blowing out a long breath toward the sky. "I told you, you don't need to worry about me."
"Tell me how the fuck I'm supposed to do that when the only thing on my mind is you."
His words were delivered quietly, though his voice somehow boomed in the dense, thickened air.
"Texted you earlier. Never heard a thing. Then, when I came up to talk to you, you never showed. Went as far as calling Lilith to find out if she'd talk to you after your meeting tonight."
He inhaled a deep breath.
"Your meeting ended 2 hours ago, Nikki. No one's heard from you since. Some asshole broke into your apartment during last week's meeting, and you want me not to worry about you? Think you know me better than that. I was about 5 seconds from starting a door-to-door search."
There was a confession to his words, the depth of his worry and the lengths he would go. I lifted my face to the mild breeze that blew through. Cars accelerated below with small bleeps of their horns, and cicadas buzzed in the towering trees that reached to our level. I wanted to dip my fingertips into it, to find the peace it seemed to offer. But I felt as if I'd completely lost ground. Everything I'd been fighting for somehow felt like a sham. Warily, I peeked back at him. The man sat in the chair, looking like the king of his own city sprawled out below him. A conqueror. A warrior. Chest bare and abdomen rippling. Eyes keen. The longer pieces of his hair whipped around him like a flaming crown. The sides cropped, making the man look every bit the beast that he was. Yet, there was something about him that remained so unbearably lost. Sapphire eyes so soft I could fall right inside. It took about everything I had not to drop at his feet. I wanted to remain strong, push him away, remember how being this close to him only hurt me time and again. But right then, the only thing I felt was weak. A tremor rolled through my being. Or maybe it wasn't weakness. Maybe I really just needed the one person who could fully understand. My hands cinched together around the metal. "Do you ever wonder where our lives went wrong? Where we changed course, or if we were just heading this direction all along?" I hedged, trying to find the best way to invite him into my heart, into my grief. He huffed out a strained breath.
"Every day, Nikki. I think about this shit every day. I think we both know exactly where it went wrong."
I glimpsed him from the corner of my eye. He lifted a tumbler to his mouth, a half-empty bottle of amber fluid sitting on the table next to him. He took a long drink.
"It only gets worse when the date gets nearer,"
he reluctantly added. Yet to me, it felt like a gift. His words, his heart, something he had refused to offer me over all these years. 14 years, I agreed. I can't believe that much time has passed. I can't believe it's been so long since our foundation was ripped out from under us. It shaped us into different people, I offered, praying he'd get it. That I needed him to listen. That I needed him to be there. For me. His grating words filled the distance that separated us.
"It doesn't matter how many years go by. It feels like it was yesterday. Feels like I'm stuck there, and I'm never going to get out."
His confession was hardened with regret, muted in sorrow.
I was there with you, but you wouldn't let me be there for you. You wouldn't let me stay.
My voice was a whisper that got swept up in the wind. It felt as if Sydney was caught in it, a ghost howling as she blew through. I felt him flinch, the man hit by the weight of the reality, even when I knew he never wanted to face it.
Couldn't let you stay there because you didn't need to be in the middle of my mess.
I looked at him from over my shoulder, my breath hitched. My beautiful beast, who was so angry at the world, angry at himself, sitting there with his chin lifted and his nostrils flaring. I knew he would charge into the distance and change it all if he was given the chance. I knew he would be willing to sacrifice everything.
If it was your fault, then it was my fault too.
Don't ever say that,
he spat, jumping to his feet. Fire and rage, they lit like a fury inside of him. My head slowly shook.
You know it's true, Ollie. You can't erase the fact that I was there with you, that we were together, that I'm every bit as responsible as you.
No, I was responsible for her, just the same as I am for you.
Those eyes blazed as he took a step forward and he fisted his hand over his heart.
I was the one who fucked it up. I was the one who pushed things between us when I knew I was crossing lines I wasn't allowed to cross. I was the one who sent her away.
Grief lined his voice. Emotion tingled my throat and my eyes stung. Part of me wanted to stop it, walk away and pretend all of this wasn't crashing over me, threatening to bury me alive. The other part wanted to hang on to every second. It was the first time in years Ollie had opened up to me. A door opened when it had forever been closed.
She would have understood, I told him, knowing with all of me that she would have.
He turned his head, looking to the far corner of the balcony.
We had a pact.
The memory, it shivered around us, a reel playing in sync in our minds. The vow we'd made before we'd understood that one day we would grow and change and things would no longer look the same. If I focused hard enough, I could still feel the cut Ollie had made on my palm.
We were 8 years old, Ollie. You were 9. Kids, I told him. We grew up. All of us changed.
Slowly, he swiveled his attention back. Every muscle in his body was held in restraint.
And you know exactly what happened when we did.
Grief pulsed through the silence that raged between us. So many things left unsaid for so many years. It tickled our ears and hammered our hearts as we finally brought our truths out into the light. Tears stung my eyes, and I swallowed Ollie's intensity and forced myself to speak.
14 years ago, did I leave everyone else behind too?
I whispered, the words a tremor, a plea, a confession.
Was I so consumed by that grief, by that loss, that I let everything and everyone else fade into the background?
Ollie's face pinched, and he was moving closer.
What are you talking about?
I missed it. I failed to see what was right in front of my eyes, Ollie.
He was at my side. The magnitude of his presence nearly knocked me from my feet.
What are you saying?
My sister.
The words broke on my tongue. In that moment, I felt something crack, chip away. Secrets slayed. And all I wanted was this man to hold all of them.
Chapter 17. Ollie. My sister. Her confession carried on the wind, like a never-ending echo of horror that would ride on the sound waves forever. Regret, the kind I knew all too well. Grief clustered in my chest as I looked down at her. Tears streaking down her defined cheeks. Nikki fucking Walters, the bane of my existence, the one who drove me right out of my mind, left me clinging to the edge of sanity, made me weak in the damn knees and hard everywhere else. She was a carrot dangled in front of me like a tease, always right there, always just out of reach, a connection I couldn't keep, but wanted more than my next breath. Because that was what she was. Breath. Life. The goodness and light in the middle of my dark, dark world. I wanted to lean in, press my nose to her delicate neck, and suck her down like a sweet, satisfying drink. Sunshine and lemonade. In the breeze, locks of that honeyed hair whipped around her head, a few errant pieces stuck to her face, those eyes so wide and innocent, and that mouth so goddamned deliciously pink. It made her look like the girl I'd fallen so hard for. She'd driven me crazy then, just like she was driving me crazy now. Swore to God the burn of that kiss from the other day was still flames on my lips. "What do you mean, your sister?" My words were guarded, careful. Fuck, maybe I didn't want to know, because a sob tore from Nikki's throat. "I think someone hurt her." Rage, it was instant, the fury that banged through my being. It struck in the air, as deadly as a thunderbolt. I grabbed her and pulled her all the way around so I could fully see her. "Who?" She stared up at me, indigo eyes flashing in the night. Agony wheezed out on her words when she reached up and pressed both her hands to my chest. "I don't know. She came into the meeting tonight. Neither of us were expecting the other. She saw me." She choked. In a flash, I had both my arms around her waist, pulling her up tight against me as I tried to process what that meant. What was she there for?
"She ran off before I could get any answers. I chased after her, called her name, and she ran, Ollie. She ran from me as if she was scared of me, like she didn't trust me."
That description, all wrong. That role was one reserved for me. My mind spun with a shit ton of horrible possibilities. There was nothing I could do but gather this girl closer, rocking her slowly, knowing I'd give absolutely anything to take this away. "She didn't know you would be there?" Burying her face against my chest, she shook her head.
"No, I don't think she realized that my internship meant I would be working in the field."
I kissed her crown and ran my fingers through her hair, praying it would soothe her. "You know it wasn't because she was scared of you or didn't trust you, Nick. You know better than that. She just didn't know what to do with exposing her own secret. You took her by surprise." Hot tears landed on my bare chest, and the girl's lips moved across the flesh.
"I don't know what I'm supposed to do."
I was such a twisted fuck, depraved, because just that touch had my mind going where it couldn't go, laying this girl out, taking her. At the same time, I wanted to wrap her up, protect her and take every drop of her despair away, shield her from all the bad shit that ran rampant in this vile world. I tried to rein in the stampeding need. "You'll figure it out, sweet girl. Sammy knows you. She's just got to deal with whatever she's going through before she's ready to confide in you."
"I can't stand the thought of someone hurting her, of her being in pain."
A shudder raked down my spine, spreading out beneath the surface of my skin. Rage and grief. I hugged her closer at the same time as she pressed tighter against me, those sweet arms bent and pinned between us as I wrapped her whole. "I know. I'm so fucking sorry. So fucking sorry." There'd never been truer words. She pulled back, just a fraction, enough that those mesmerizing eyes were gazing up at me, casting their spell, sucking me under.
"I need you,"
she whispered, ducking down and placing gentle kisses all over my chest as her fingertips ran down my abdomen. My muscles tensed beneath the assault, her perfect, perfect assault. I grabbed her by the wrists, voice a warning. "Nikki."
"Please," she whimpered. "I need you. I need you. Take it away."
My mind flashed to a year ago. I could almost hear my own words echo through my spirit. My pleas when I'd needed her in a way no one else could offer. Like she needed me now. The two of us knew each other better than anyone else, trusted in a way we shouldn't. "Nikki," I said again, another warning that only sounded like giving in.
"Please."
She pressed the word right against my heart that thundered and roared and sent an earthquake through me. Protection and greed. "You're so much better than what I've got to offer. I'm messed up."
"What if I want to be messed up with you?"
A low chuckle rumbled out, and my fingertips were tracing across her lips. Everything coming closer. Closer and closer. "It's my job to protect you, remember? Even if that means protecting you from me."
the smallest smile pulled across her sexy mouth, a tease barely winding into the words. I guess I like your brand of pain, don't I? Lust flickered low, right where it had always burned for her. Embers and ash, an aching, smoldering glow. Don't want to hurt you, Nikki, and I'm pretty damn sure you don't want me to hurt you either. She blinked up at me, no reservations when she should be running for her life. Then don't? Not sure I know anything else. Need flickered through those bewitching features, and I brushed my fingers through the wild pieces of her hair, holding her by the side of the head. If I could, I'd do anything for you. Give you anything. Her nails scratched over the cross etched right at the center of my chest, right over the boom of my heart. It pulsed my blood harder and harder, every thrum winding me higher. Lust bottled in the air, wobbling, teetering as everything threatened to spill. Stark vulnerability seeped into her words, a line pulling into a scowl across her brow. Please, Ollie, touch me. Need tied my guts into a thousand knots, and I gripped her as we swayed, to the beat of the music that filtered up from below. The bar alive, Nikki and I elevated above it, removed. Two strangers who knew each other better than anyone else who'd landed in a realm where they shouldn't be. My thumb traced along her cheek, right over those freckles that made her appear so sweet and a little untamed. She was, but she was more. So much more. She was beauty and belief and the sun, made up of her own mistakes and her own regrets. She was fear and challenge and perseverance. She was the girl I'd thought I would spend my life with until I'd lost it the day I'd lost Sydney. I will ruin you, Nick. We both know it. Nails scratched across my skin, searching for a place to sink in. You ruined me a long time ago. My nose brushed across hers. Nikki. Her name was a moan, a plea. It was giving in. What do you need? You? A groan rumbled deep in my chest, and I swept her off her feet, one arm under her back and the other under her knees. That was right as my mouth was slanting over hers, possessively, protectively. My tongue plundered that smart, delicious mouth, deprived of the taste of her for far too long, for too many fucking years. After the tease I'd gotten the other day, I was desperate for more. Damn the consequences. A whimper pulled from her, and she murmured, Ollie, on a needy breath of surrender. For a moment, both of us were giving in, her arms wound around my neck as I moved across the balcony. I owned that mouth the whole way, Nikki clinging to me the entire time, kissing me back, just as hungry, desperate and needy, needy for me. Heaviness stretched my chest taut, everything I'd ever held for this girl swelling, getting bigger, consuming in a way that I knew would never let me go. Angling to the side, I slid open the door with my elbow. Shadows played across the floor and walls of my loft, and I carried her across the dusky, dimly lit room. When I laid her on the couch, a surprised breath gushed from between her lips. I swallowed it, made it my own. Wanting more. So much more. Wanting it all. Fuck. I had to focus on this girl who was squirming on the dark leather, wearing this ridiculous, short floral dress and boots. Those legs bent as her hips bucked from the couch, begging for me. That dress slinked up to reveal the silky skin of her thighs. It gave me a peek of the black lace covering her underneath. Desire clutched every cell, heart and mind and body. There was nothing I could do. All I wanted was to take her away from there, to a reality where it was us and nothing else. I stood staring down at her through the darkness, eyes tracing every slender curve of her mouth-watering body. You are so fucking gorgeous. She tucked her bottom lip between her teeth, and her chin lifted as her back arched. She pressed her hands to her belly and squirmed, unable to sit still. So needy. Hot. Her flames licked out. A spark against my body. My cock twitched and strained against my jeans. I was blasted by thoughts of how easy it would be to rip all of our clothing away and sink inside. Get lost in her heat, and her size, and her support. Forever.
use her up the way I'd done before and didn't even have the decency to remember. Motherfucker. I wasn't about to go there. This was about her. Nikki. I reached out and trailed a single finger down her arm, running from her shoulder to her wrist. Just have to look at you and another piece of me falls, breaks away. You were every fantasy I ever had. Teenaged kid dying to get inside you. Knew it'd be heaven. Ollie, she whispered, spreading her hands across her dress that had ridden all the way up to her waist, her hands running the length of her thighs, of her bent legs. You were always more than a fantasy to me. You were everything that was real. God damn it. She was going to wreck me, destroy every ounce of self-control I had. I'd done it once, lost it, let her wreck me. Didn't think she could afford for me to lose it again. So I kept myself in check, careful as I let my index finger explore, running over the fabric of that dress and riding up her thigh. I palmed the inside of it and dipped down to kiss across her knee. Shivers rolled through her, running her spine and crashing into me. Those hypnotic eyes watched me through the pale, muted light, knowing me too well, seeing too much. Each movement measured. I slowly crawled over her, bracing, keeping some distance between us while she fought to get closer. God only knew what would happen if I plastered myself against the shape of her. A sigh filtered from between her pink lips that were swollen and plump and damp from the force of my kiss. So damn sexy. I planted my hands on either side of her head, gaze moving over that unforgettable face. You are real, Nikki. Don't ever mistake that. You are the most real thing I ever had. Her fingertips brushed down my chest. I'm still yours, she whispered. I slammed my eyes shut and jerked my head to the side like it might protect me from the impact of her confession. Inhaling deeply, I let my forehead drop to hers, our breaths mingling and our noses grazing. Both of us hanging at a precipice. A breath. A pant. A heated second. Baited. Suspended. Then the band holding me back snapped. Our lips met in a collision of greed. Taking and giving. My lips closed over hers. Top. Bottom. Sucking. Releasing. Tugging. Again and again. A perfected dance that wasn't close to being slow. I pressed up higher on my hands and my head dipped down as I swept my tongue into the wet welcome of her mouth. Thought I might die right there. It was met with a whimper at the back of her throat and a tangle of her tongue with mine. Her fingers scruffed through my beard, and then her hands were fisting in my hair, begging for more. Her body lifting to meet mine as our tongues coiled in a desperate play to get closer to each other. I took her by the inside of her thigh, making myself room, rocking my cock against her pussy. Her cry was quiet and needy, a plea lighting in the combustible air. Ollie, I need you. I need you. A groan rambled through my spirit, and I tore my mouth from hers. This was not about me. I'd taken enough. I plucked at her bottom lip with both of mine before I was kissing a path down her chin, her jaw. Fingernails scraped my shoulders. I sucked and licked along the delicate column of her slender throat, and to those fucking collarbones that drove me straight out of my mind. Delirium. My head spun, and I was kissing across her chest, down over her heart that drummed violently. Pound, pound, pound. I felt it beating, desperate in its bid to meet with mine, as if it could catch up to the bolting thunder that raged within the confines of my ribs, thrashing at my insides, seeking a way out. I sucked in a breath and fought back that feeling that she was mine and she was always gonna be. I kissed across the neckline of her dress, right over the fabric to the swell of those tiny tits. Fuck. Why was that so sexy? So damn sexy that I was yanking the neckline down, exposing her dark, peaked nipple. My tongue licked across the tip before I sucked it into my mouth. One hand came up, palming the bit of flesh, bringing it deeper into my mouth. Nikki bucked, rubbing her center against my dick that begged at my jeans. She moaned, and her hands were everywhere. My hair, my face, my shoulders. Raking down my back, eliciting the most torturous, pleasured kind of pain.
Ollie, oh God, that feels so good. You feel so good. I need you. I need you so much.
Her panted words lifted into the dense air, and I sat back on my knees. I grabbed her by the waist, cinching my hands around her. You want me to make you feel good, sweet girl? Her head rocked back on the pillow. I swore the girl was so damn pretty it hurt to look at her. A punch right to the center of my chest.
Yes, she drew out, tongue darting out to swipe across her lips. Please, I need you. I never stopped needing you.
I beat back the guilt. I had no clue about the way I'd treated her last year, but I knew full well the way I'd left her when she was 16. My hands slid up the top of her thighs. Shivers raced beneath my palms, the girl quivering and shaking like she was seconds from falling apart, and I hadn't even touched her. I let my hands glide around to her back, lifting her a little as I palmed her ass, her knees dropping open wide when I did. This ass, baby. And I was wondering if anyone had been in it. Who'd been in her, taking this sweet body? Aggression I didn't have any fucking right to feel curled through my being. A dark, violent sickness. I wanted to possess her. Every part. Every inch. She was supposed to be mine. I kneaded her cheeks and let my fingers run down her cleft.
Ollie, what are you doing to me?
Those indigo eyes met mine as she sucked frantic breaths into her lungs.
You make me crazy.
A low chuckle of warning escaped my mouth. Safe to say it's the other way around, sunshine. You make me insane. That mouth and this body, I want to fuck you wild, Nikki. Mark you. Keep you. I was saying things I shouldn't be saying, but I couldn't stop the words from scraping from my mouth. Her dress was bunched all the way up to below her tits, the one I'd been sucking on peeking out the top, nipples still hard and wet from my licks. Her hands spread out across her flat, naked belly.
Please.
And I knew she'd let me, knew that she'd let me use her. Maybe, maybe she'd use me too. The passion roiling in her eyes was untamed, fierce and savage. She wanted to get reckless with me. I snagged my fingers in the edges of her underwear and began to peel them down. Shit, I hissed. The ground quaked beneath me as I revealed what was waiting underneath. Totally unfucking prepared for seeing her this way. Spread out for me. Pussy wet and glistening. Lifting her legs between us, I unwound the lace from her ankles and dropped her underwear to the floor, setting one of her ankles on my shoulder as I barely dragged just the tips of my fingers through her slit. I almost went off right then. I'd been wanting this girl for far, far too long. Just that little touch had her hips hiking up, pressing from the couch. You want me to touch you, sweet girl? Is that what you want? The words rumbled from me as I shifted, planting a single hand next to her head, caging her in. She nodded, hair swishing across my couch.
Don't tease me, Ollie. My heart can't take it tonight.
My chest tightened, and I had the wayward thought that there'd be plenty of time for that later. Teasing and playing, I knew better than to let my thoughts go wandering that direction. I forced myself back to her in this moment, to the girl who was shaking on my couch. Desperate for relief. I slicked my fingers through her pussy, watching the way her lips parted, tasting the sigh that slipped from her tongue when I tucked a single finger into the tight clutch of her body. Her hands flew to my shoulders and held on.
Ollie,
I drew back, added another. I drove them in slowly. Like that? I murmured at her mouth, teasing her a little. She swallowed hard, searching for air.
More.
That's what I thought. I rumbled, nipping at her chin. I'm gonna take care of you, sweetness. Sunshine, I rumbled, lips moving across her cheek. A little moan jetted from her mouth and I edged back, pulling my fingers free. Protest at her loosing a tiny groan, and I gave her a lopsided grin. I've got you. Trust me. I've got you. Those words were out before I could stop them. Trust. I deserved none of that. But she could count on me to give her this. I spread my hands wide and slipped them up the insides of her thighs, spreading her wide. Hands going back to her bottom, I lifted her from the couch when I leaned down and licked. She yelped, and those needy little hands flew into my hair.
I turned, kissed the inside of her thigh, whispering against the flesh. Is this okay, sweet girl? Sweet, fucking delicious girl. If you stop, I will stab you, Oliver Preston.